Oh, Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the day that we had, the day, things that we could celebrate today, and Mother's Day. And just pray for our plans going forward this summer, that you would be in each detail, and pray for something big to happen as we step out in faith and missions. In your name, amen. Okay, let's open to Exodus. Chapter 2, again with the life of Moses in the river. Moses spent a lot of time on the water. Actually, maybe more time in the desert, 80 years in the desert, but a few significant events having to do with water. Yeah, just this idea that we are in the world. Christ said it to his disciples. Christ speaking to his disciples, he told them that you are in the world, but you are not of the world, right? And when he prays in John chapter 17, he mentions to his disciples, he says, I don't ask Father, he's praying to the Father about his disciples. He says, I don't ask that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from evil, right? So actually, he sent them into the world. And Jesus said this, like, he says it to the Father, like you have sent me into the world, I send them into the world. So if you think of our place as believers, as disciples, it is in the world, right? Not isolated from it, but in it, in the sense that we also live here. We are experiencing the same things. We are confronting the same people. We are living in this world, subject to the same things, but with a different understanding, with a different authority, with a different power, and with a different purpose. We are not simply going through this world to see what we can get out of it, right? But we are in this world seeing where God can lead us into it, right? How can we affect it? And reading about the life of Moses, you can read it in Josephus, Works of Antiquities. I don't know if you have it. I think it's on most, maybe on Bible software, they have it. Some different softwares have it. I think it's a public domain thing. You can find it anywhere. Or Radical Idea, you could buy the book, which I know is, you know, in this day and age, you can just get everything free online. But, He writes about Moses and the anticipation that Israel had anticipated someone would come and deliver them from Egypt. Moses was born into Egypt, and he could have been whisked away, hidden away. But instead, where does God send him? Right into the heart of it. If there is a prophet, Josephus has the story that there was a prophet of the Egyptian religion there when Moses was brought into the court of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's daughter says, this is my son. I found him. And there's a story that says one of the prophets recognized that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy that someone would come and deliver Israel out of the hand of Egypt. And he said, we need to kill that child right now, actually. He says, you got to take... And Pharaoh's daughter said, no, and whisked him out. And so just to say that he was raised, like, this is only the wisdom of God would do this, that he was raised in the heart of the place that hated him the most. Moses, by authority, Moses was supposed to be thrown into the river. But instead, he's brought by the wisdom of God right into Pharaoh's courts. And that's where he's raised, that's where he's educated, that's where he has influence. But, like it says in Hebrews chapter 11, he did not regard that as something beneficial, that instead he left it, he forsook it, wanting to have the sufferings of Christ rather than live there in the courts of Egypt. But so we are this way. We are in the world. And we are not being conformed by the world. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, do not be conformed to this world, but instead what? Be transformed. Be transformed by what? By the renewing of your minds. What is it that can renew my mind? Only the Word of God. Thinking with God. Finding definition by God. Finding these things in Him. And there I am transformed. And then what? I am presented as a living sacrifice, not to be hidden away from the world, but as my reasonable service, I am sent into the world. And there I am able to make an impact and influence people. It's an interesting idea, influencing people. We live in the influencer age. Right? The social media influence is humongous. I don't know if you've heard some of the studies about transgender and about some of the movements that are happening. There is a 4,000% increase among teenage girls in the last 10 years. 4,000% increased among girls. I think it's from 12 to 16. That's the bracket. 4,000% increase in 10 years. And if you can relate it, I think you can relate it directly to social media. And the outlets and the way that we pursue identity. How is that not a problem? How is that not on the radar? And now we are in a time where we talk a lot about mental health, and rightfully so, because it is a big problem. Right? But how is that skipped by? How is that passed by? How is that not taken seriously? So we are people, we are in this world and we observe the things that are happening, but we are not of it. We have not found our identity in it. We have not sourced all of our being from it. And we are able to say something to it in a different way. Right? In the world, when I find something disagreeable, it's very easy to just launch out at it, right? And initiate a campaign of destruction. But in Christ, that's never the goal. Christ has effectively destroyed the works of the devil. It says in 1 John 5:8, he came to destroy the works of the devil. He has done the work. And now he has sent us as his disciples into the world, not to destroy, not to take things apart, but to put people back together by introducing them to Christ. Like, he has given us an amazing authority and an amazing power in this world, and it is to lead people back to him. And when people find Christ, they find something, they find a real identity. Right? So the thing I wanted to say is that we have an understanding of ourselves as in Christ. In Christ. You can read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 and highlight everywhere that you see that in Christ or in him. And find your identity in those two things. Wasn't there a movie? There was a movie recently about a girl who became a track star. Does anybody remember that one? It was a girl in high school, and she had her identity was she was like a thief and she was bad. But then her track coach gave her a Bible and told her to read the book of Ephesians, and she went through Ephesians and found her identity in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. And then it changed her. And she was able to forgive her father, right? Her father who had left her. She forgave her mother. And it was this amazing story. I don't know, it was 4 or 5 years ago it came out, maybe 3 years ago. Anywhere in the last 10 years it came out. You can pick the timing. No, it was a Christian movie. And I think the teens went to it maybe. I don't know. Back when they could do that kind of thing. Anyway. What is it? What is it? Where is it that I can find my identity, my true identity? I find it in the Word of God. I listened to a study about how people establish identity. And the problem with establishing your identity strictly online. Like, we live in a world like, okay, everyone in this room, right? Probably, mostly. We all had a life before the internet, right? Like, we understood life without online or without social media, and we have established an identity without it. But we, like, our kids, maybe like Abby's kids, like this generation, their entire life they've had an online presence. And somebody was saying that in an online presence, I am able to put out my identity. And I tell people what I am, and online they accept what I am. And if I want to change it, I just change my identity, and then I put it out there for people to accept it. That's not healthy, because there's no critique, there's no sharpening, there's no criticism, actually. Imagine that word, criticism, that I am some way, and then, you know, my peers could say, hey, that's kind of strange. Like, how about we don't do that? We say, okay, good idea. It's a good criticism. But if I simply present to you what and who I am, and you are forced to accept it, then where is my refining? But we have turned to the Word of God, and we have looked into it, and we have found an identity, and we have found a greater definition of who we are, not based on how I feel, not based on what I want, but based on truth, based on something that is connected with my design, something that is connected with who I really am, by someone who really knows who I am, Jesus. So we look at the life of Moses, where he was, as a baby, placed into a river, floated down a stream, raised in the courts of Pharaoh, and then as an adult, finds his identity with the Hebrew people and has the desire to deliver them. Isn't that a great thing? We can say, yes, Moses, that's your calling, that's your purpose. Your name means called out of the river, and you're a great deliverer. Go deliver. And he goes, he has an idea, he kills an Egyptian, buries him in the sand, and then he comes back the next day feeling like such a good Hebrew, ready to lead them out. And what do they say? Who the heck are you? What are you going to kill us too? Gone. He loses his whole identity. He becomes a shepherd out in the wilderness. Nowhere. Totally loses who he is, to the point that he can't communicate the language eloquently enough to go into Egypt, right? Perfect. God says perfect. That's perfect. That's right where I need you, right? Completely broken down and completely blank slate for God to lead him. And he speaks to him out of the bush, out of the burning bush. Moses, is that who I am? What? And he speaks to him. He calls him. He gives him identity. He gives him purpose. And he sends him right back into the pit that he crawled out of, in essence, right? He says, now it's time for you to deliver. And he said, Lord, you could have used me 40 years ago when I was young and strong and I was able to communicate and I had influence and I had connections. That would have been a great time to use me. He said, no, that would have been you. But now I have made you into the perfect vessel if you are willing to go. And he goes. He goes in there. He marches right into Pharaoh's throne room. Imagine that. Let my people go. Let them go. Out of the river into, now he's in Pharaoh. What is the first thing that God curses? Remember the first plague? He curses the rivers of Egypt. Egypt, you think you're going to use this river to kill all the Hebrews? This is your source of life. Then he curses it. It becomes bloody. Right? And the fish are floating up. It is not a good place. Moses is there. Moses is turned away by Pharaoh. How many times? 9 times? Could you imagine? Having an identity and saying, okay, Lord, you want me to go in there again? He's already said no 7 times. Actually, he said yes a couple times and changed his mind at the last minute. Like, I cannot keep running my head up against this wall, Lord. And God could say to Moses, Moses, trust me. Just go by faith. And because his identity was in God and not in anything else, he was able to go. And finally, leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, again, confronted with a water problem. Again, there is a Red Sea in front of me, Moses. His identity could be crippled right there. Imagine being there at the edge of the Red Sea. You have 12 million people with you, in an army pushing you right into the sea. And you could say, wow, did I really just mishear everything? Did I miss the whole point, Lord? Like there is doubt in everything that I have done. But then God says, no, by faith, you're going to walk through the water. He does it. He parts the sea, knowing who he is, knowing that God has called him to it. He parts the sea and leads the nation of Israel across the Red Sea. On their way to the promised land, 11-day journey, no problem, right? No, 40 years. 40 years. And he would hit a rock, and out of the rock came what? The water. Right? The water. Christ is there. And he is the water is in Moses' life. So we ourselves will never be in a place where we're leading 12 million people. Maybe. Hey, if we are, hallelujah, we'll be right behind you. But we do have the confidence of our God. And we do have an identity that is built for us by God. He does not hold back in his description of us. He doesn't hold back of his defining who we are. He tells us freely. He tells us gladly who we are. We are saints. We are greatly loved. If you look at the life of Daniel, there's three times in the life of Daniel where an angel came to him and said, oh man, greatly loved. That was his identity. That was it. There are many other things that Daniel did to the glory of God, but his identity was a man greatly loved. John on the Isle of Patmos, he is meeting his Savior. He is giving us a revelation of things that were to come, but he is the disciple whom Jesus loved. That is his identity. Peter would go all the way with God, all the way. He would be crucified upside down. He would preach boldly in every place that God had put him. But what was his identity? His identity was the one who Jesus walked with on the seashore in John chapter 21. That's the thing that carried him. And when he spoke about Jesus, if you read Peter's writings, he talks about the precious blood of Christ. Precious. We consider that too, the precious blood of Christ, the thing that has washed us clean. Peter saw that blood spilled. He saw that body broken. He saw that life given. And he knew, and he was identifying himself based on that he was worth that, that Christ would shed his blood for him. David understood his value, didn't he? We love the life of David. He understood the anointing. He understood that God had anointed him in 1 Samuel chapter 16. But he didn't become king until much later on. And all of that time, he had to depend on God's anointing and trust it and understand it and not move outside of it. When he looked at Saul, he could have seen a jealous, angry, bitter, like spiteful guy. Why would he be? And rightfully so. He did try to pin him to the wall with a harpoon multiple times or with a spear multiple times. But he didn't. He understood him as God's anointed also. So I will not identify other people or myself that way outside of the grace of God or outside of the word of God. It only comes from him. So when I look into what God has called me to, and where he has placed me, and the things, right? Where are we connected? Where are we working? Where are our children? What sports are they in? And are we simply there as a placeholder, or are we there because God has called us there? Well, we are there because God has called us there. He has sent us into the world. And we have compassion, we have kindness, we have patience, we have care for people. We have a message, we have truth that we're not afraid to communicate. I saw today, somebody sent me a clip of a pastor in Alberta. You see, he got arrested. Was it Alberta, Calgary, Alberta? Is that the same? Yeah, he had church. It was the same guy. They went into his church on Easter morning. And he yelled at him. He said, get out, come back with a warrant. I don't know if you saw that video. He's got an accent. He, I don't know. Sounds like, yeah. Oh my, yeah. He's, yeah. Anyway, so whatever. The police left, and then today he had church service this morning, and then driving home, he was chased down, and they dragged him out. They pulled him out of his car, and they made him kneel in a highway, like he's out on a highway kneeling down, and there's a SWAT team there to arrest the pastor. Whew, it seems a bit. I do not know the whole story, but I saw that, and it, I don't know. What is this guy doing? I don't know. What is he preaching? I don't know. But is his identity based on the world's reception of his message? If the Christian's identity is dependent on the world's acceptance of his message, he will give up quickly. Because the world doesn't care for our message. The world doesn't care for the message of truth. The world doesn't care for the message that it's wrong. Does anybody like to hear the message that you're wrong? No, I never, right? Never. The world especially does not like that, and there will be a reaction against it. But does that change who I am? Does that change what Christ has put in my hands? No, it doesn't. Like Abraham said, and I know I'm all over the Bible with the stories, but it's good. Abraham said in Genesis chapter 14, when the king of Sodom said, "Give me the people. You take the gold, give me the people." Abraham said, "I have lifted my hand to the Most High God, the creator of heaven and earth." That's it. That's it. He is the one who has given me purpose. He is the one who has given me identity, and I will honor him. And he said, "God, I don't want the king of Sodom to be able to say that he has made me in any way, that he has not given me what I have. He has not put anything in my hands. Only God has." So, as we consider this life of Moses, and we consider our own lives, we all have something that's buried in the sand. Have you ever? We all have something buried in the sand of our life. God is knowing that. God can overcome that. Don't let what you know is buried in your past be limit you from serving God. He has a way of dealing with it, and he has a way of calling you and leading you past it, encouraging you, building you. Moses, somebody who would rather live out with the goats in the desert, now becomes the leader of 12 million people. Right? There's a change that happens there. Peter, who denies him before, a gatekeeper, is now drawing attention to himself in the temple, preaching the gospel about Christ. This happens by knowing Jesus. This happens by hearing his definition of us. We've said it in Song of Solomon, right? The song that is sung, the description that is given, that the bridegroom gives a description of the bride, and it's beautiful. He goes, he carries on, he carries on, he sings about her, he loves her. And then also she has a song to sing about him. And this is where we find our identity. This is where we find the truth of who God has called us to be. So we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We don't have to be. We're free from it. So because of that, we are able to affect the world. We're able to influence the world, and we are able to bring light into it. And we look different, right? We speak different, we act different, not because of our effort, but because of the transformation that Christ has made in our lives. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for changing us. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for defining our lives for us, where we are lost without you. Thank you. Thank you. Pray for our church moving forward. We just ask that you would be in it. You would help us in every detail and be favorable to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.